Screen time. How electronic media, from baby videos to educational software, affects your young child. By Lisa Gorenze. Screen time or content? A survey conducted in 2005 showed that children under age 4 were spending an average of 1 hour and 25 minutes in front of a screen each day. A set of national data from the 1990s showed that children aged 1.5 watched more than 2 hours of TV a day. The more we learned, the less use we found for focusing so intently on the quantity of screen time. Instead, we started to see three channels of inquiry that shed light on what screen time really means to a child's development. We call them the three C's: content, context, and your child. Can we leave the television on? Experiments have been set up to answer a number of questions as to the effect of background television on children's playtimes. The first question dealt with whether the existence of background television disrupted children's playtimes. The results showed that when the TV was on, there was a pronounced decrease in the length of play episodes. The second question tackled whether background television interfered with a parent's interaction with his or her child. Parents were actively involved with their children 66% of the time with no TV on, versus 54% of the time with the TV on. The way they played with their children was affected to an even greater extent. With no TV, 74% of their play with their children was active. With the background television, that declined to 59%. The third question targeted the impact of a background noise on child's acquisition of language. A few recent studies have shown that infants do find ways to get around the distraction of background noise. One scholar has determined that babies can segment speech and noise conditions when they are able to use visual cues. In many households, with an always-on television, however, we would venture to guess that infants are not catching everything mom and dad are saying, and if their ability to segment speech is slowed, their ability to learn language could be delayed. What is screen time not doing to a baby's brain? In 1999, there was simply no evidence that television was leading parents to spend less time with their babies. So Elizabeth Vandewater, a researcher from the University of Texas, set out to do the research herself. Among children under 5, she found that there was no relationship between time spent watching television and time spent being read to. Nor did screen time seem to have a dampening effect on a child's time spent in active play. It is worth noting in Vandewater's study, however, that television did appear to be displacing two things. One was that children's time spent with their parents in activities other than television. The other was their time spent in creative play. This included what Vandewater called the usual childhood creative pastimes, like coloring, playing a musical instrument, playing pretend or dress-up, playing with toys, playing board games, or making arts and crafts. An hour a day of television viewing among 0 to 2-year-olds was linked to a 9% reduction in creative play during the week and an 11% reduction on the weekend. Is TV making my child a zombie? One day, while immersed in an experiment, the developmental psychologist Daniel Anderson noticed something curious about the way these children looked at Sesame Street. Anyone familiar with the show knows that it is comprised of multiple segments. You might think that children would be more prone to look away when one of these segments ended and another began. But Anderson noticed that the longer the children had been watching, the more they wanted to keep watching, regardless of the cuts. In controlled experiments, he found that if children had been watching the screen for about 15 seconds when those cuts occurred, the children were likely to keep their gaze trained on the television for the second segment. If they had been engaged for less than 15 seconds, they usually turned away. Anderson coined a term for this phenomenon: attentional inertia. He explained that this behavior is not an unfavorable one at all, but actually a signifier of deepened engagement. In a book about the history of Nickelodeon, Anderson described attentional inertia as the major mechanism by which a young child will continue to pay attention to the program even when the content is difficult for that child to understand. It can play a role in teaching children new things, he said, but on the flip side, it can get children to keep watching despite cuts to commercials. Can children watch scary content that is unreal? Young children don't think logically. At birth, children are born with a functioning amygdala, the region of the brain that reflexively reacts to dangers, raising our heart rates, seizing our breath, and telling us to flee. But the cerebral cortex, the hub of brain power that allows us to think abstractly, does not develop fully until the teenage years. It is the last part of the brain to develop. Without logic and without abstract thinking, required to understand themes of love, history, religion, hatred, betrayal, revenge, and forgiveness, children take away far different ideas from media than adults do. Jacqueline Woolley, a psychologist at the University of Texas, has done some work that can help. Based on her studies, she has found that children as young as 3 do make some important distinctions between reality and unreality. The problems appear when 3-year-olds are faced with illusions, with objects designed to deceive people into thinking they are something else. If illusions are able to throw children off, what about the illusory world created on stage, on screen, or in fiction books? At what age do children understand that an event they see on screen or in a book might not occur in real life? Probably not until age 4. What fears shouldn't they experience on screen? Some scholars have suggested that for children under 5, parents should only choose video media that is all sweetness and light. But even the most protective parents acknowledge that exposure to scary media is bound to happen sometimes. A child might see the destruction of a tornado when a parent tunes into the nightly news. When that child becomes frightened, what is a parent to do? Simply getting away from the screen entirely may be the best option. Experts suggest bringing the children to the kitchen to get a beverage or snack, or distracting them by pulling out a favorite game and talking about something happy. Can screen time teach social skills? Screen time's impact on social skills can be both good and bad, depending on what and how much our kids are watching. In 2001, the researchers Mary Louise Mars and Emery Woodard published a chart showing the bottom line results of 108 studies. As Mars and Woodard looked at the array of studies, they came to realize that the "be nice, be good" messages at the end of some children's programs were not getting through to young viewers. The resolution was drowned out by usually more engaged scenes of conflict that drove the plot. For pro-social content to impart appropriate social lessons, it needs to include no scenes of aggression, and characters need to spend most of their time overcoming the problem instead of rehearsing it. Mars also suggested that the answer may lie in the particular structure and plot line of a show. Preschoolers need linear narrative. They need repetition. They need a pace that allows them to digest what they've seen. With these pieces in place, a developmentally appropriate social lesson can be learned, she believes. Yet even then, she added, it would be foolhardy to assume that preschoolers are extracting abstract lessons from a show or movie, particularly if it contains conflict. Little kids don't get motive, and they don't get consequences, Marsh told us. What they focus on is the action. Does screen time cause obesity? A television set cannot make a child fat, but research on what children watch, like commercials for unhealthy food, and where they watch, whether in bedrooms or at the dinner table, is enough to keep us relatively vigilant about how TV is used with our kids. Scientists have uncovered links between televisions in children's bedrooms and the prevalence of obesity. Barbara Dennison, a pediatrician and obesity expert, published a study in 2002 that included more than 1,400 low-income families with children ages 1 to 4. The data showed a significant correlation between a child's body mass index and the existence of a television in the child's bedroom. The heavier the child, the more likely that he or she had a bedroom TV set. And in this particular sample, the proportion of bedroom TV watchers was high. 40% of children had a TV in their rooms. Wise choices. It is wise to set a screen time limit. It is wise to set a pattern for TV use. It is wise to control the content children watch. It is wise to limit exposure to commercials and big business marketing. It is wise to carefully choose where screens are located. It is wise to talk to caregivers and babysitters. Presence. In the razzle-dazzle of new iPhone apps and touchscreen toys, we cannot forget how much our presence makes a difference. If there's one thing that continues to show up in the research, it is that adults' engagement with children while they watch and interact with e-media leads to far more learning than when the kids are using the technology by themselves. Advances in technology are not pointing to a day in which young children can simply plug in and learn without us. On the contrary, we parents are more necessary than ever.